All right. Thank you, worship team. I'll tell you what, good thing we're not outside today. Amen, right? Amen. Wow. For the last 2 years, we've done the candlelight out at Sycamore Park in the Ramada thing, whatever it's called. Is it called the Ramada?
It's a park.
It's a park. Did it at the park. All right. And goodness sakes, can you imagine being out? Because we'd still have it. I'm just saying, man. We'd still have it. But I'm glad that you guys are here. Hey, in all seriousness, I'm glad the kiddos are here. And so if you need to, there's a table over there. I know Lori said some of this before, but there's a table back there with some extra, is there snacks back there too? And there's drawing stuff. And so if a kid needs to go back there and hang out, that's cool. So I know, Brad, you got to stay, man. So, but man, we love having families here. And so for our church, with the last so many weeks, we've been doing a series leading up and just really trying as followers of Christ, as a church, to walk take a slow walk towards the manger and really see Jesus for who he is. And not get distracted by all of the stuff, right? Man, there's a lot of stuff out there. And I was thinking about being joyful around Christmas time, and I stood in the line at a retail store yesterday. I'll tell you what, man, I had to be reminded of why Jesus came, man. It was no fun at all. Our focus today is this. As we look to the one that came, born of a virgin, placed in a manger, visited by shepherds, and was God with us. We want our hearts to approach Christmas singing this. This is the theme. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Let us adore the one that came as Christ the Lord, the Messiah. He came to save us from our sins. He came to bring us hope and peace and joy. He came to bring light into our darkness. So that's our focus this morning. Let's approach today and tomorrow, Christmas, and then each day, really wake up and just start adoring Jesus. I'll tell you what, your life will be different if you wake up and just say, how can I adore Jesus today? Worshiping him, respecting him, following him, and loving him. You heard earlier as Mark and Lori read the scriptures, they read the Christmas story. The angels and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. We've got the animals, right? And we've got the inn where there's no room. But most importantly, we have Jesus. But know this, church, this isn't just a story, right? This wasn't just written for like from nursery book to read to your kiddos, man. This is real. And my question today is this. As we think about Christmas, my question is this. How are we going to respond to the real story? How do we respond to Jesus? That's the question for us this morning. It doesn't matter if you're not a Christian, if you're not a follower of Christ, if you know Jesus and you've been saved for 150 years. Do we have anybody of those in here, right? You, okay. Hey, I'll tell you what. It doesn't matter where we are, how are we responding to Jesus? In our text, we're going to see three responses to Jesus. There's Bibles. Does anybody need a Bible? There's Bibles at the end of rows. And if anybody needs a Bible, just slip your hand up. We'll make sure that you get one. Dave, I got you a large print, man. You're good, bro. So, all right. So, we do have those as well. But if you'd open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. It's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 2. I want to introduce a few different folks here that we'll be looking at in our context here. We're going to be talking about the Magi or the wise men. We're going to look at Herod the king. And also, we're going to look at a group of people called the chief priests and scribes. And just to give a little bit of background on these guys before we dive in, when we talk about, hope I don't ruffle any feathers here, but when we talk about the Magi or the wise men, help me out here, often they're referred to as the three kings. There's a problem with that. They were not kings, all right? They were not kings, and we really don't know that there were three of them. We assume there were three because of why? The gifts they bring, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But we really do not have a description in the Bible that says there were three and they were kings. Well, we know they weren't kings, and we'll describe that here in just a little bit. But we know there are three of them, right? But there's more than likely that the men would have traveled in a very large entourage, right? They would have had a following. They'd have their animals and their food and their servants with them. Because of who they are, they didn't travel lightly. So there was more. I just want to throw that out there. Didn't mean to ruin your nativity set or anything like that. Just go build a few more. All right, but there were probably more than three, okay? We don't know for sure, but more than likely because of who they were. And these men were magi or wise men. They were very intelligent men. They were astrologers. They were men that have knowledge of Hebrew scripture. They knew the Old Testament for us, right? They knew the Old Testament. They would have been aware of the prophecies or the Old Testament passages and the prophets telling about Jesus coming. These guys knew their stuff. They knew that a Savior was going to be born. They knew that there was going to be a star. They knew about where He was going to be. And so that's who they are. So you had the wise men or the magi. I'm probably going to call them wise men most of the time, but wise men or magi. And when you sing that song, it'd be like, we three wise men of or... No, I don't know, man. Okay, that wasn't funny. Okay, that was good. Normally my wife tells me, she waits till we're done. I'm like, how was it? She's like, that joke was not funny. All right, but you guys helped me out with that one. All right. All right, so you got the magi or the wise men. You've got the Herod, the king. Man, that dude was a peach. Okay, Herod was more of a title than it was a name. And this specific ruler was known as Herod the Great. Herod the Great. He had a reputation of being a great leader, not necessarily a good leader, but he was powerful. That sense of great, okay? He was known for being a great builder, an administrator. He was great in politics and also in cruelty. He was a very wealthy and politically gifted man. This guy loved power. Anybody know anybody that's always looking behind their back, like, who's trying to stab me in the back? That was this guy. That was this guy. Augustus, the Roman emperor, said this about Herod. He said it was safer to be Herod's pig than Herod's son. He was so worried about somebody trying to take his power and take his throne and his crown that he even had his son killed. I mean, this dude was nasty. He was a great, as in powerful leader, got things done, but he was cruel. And then we see the scribes and the chief priest. And we're going to read through this here in a second, but I just want you guys to know who these people are as we read through. These are religious leaders. They're men that had authority in religious law. They were professional scholars in the law. And when we think specifically about the scribes, these men, anybody know what the Pentateuch is? Okay, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, kids help me out. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, so they would have had, a lot of these guys would have had those memorized. They would have had those, I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever looked at Leviticus, man. I would do anything not to memorize that book, but these guys would have had that thing memorized. They were well aware of the promised Messiah. They were aware that Jesus was coming and where He was going to be born. They knew of His lineage. They knew what to look for. When it came to the scripture, when it came to the law, these guys knew their stuff. But they didn't always follow it. You always know, you know people, right, that are smart but don't follow through. They're not wise, right? But they had the knowledge. So that's the people. Now let's see what God's word has to say. Normally have people stand up when we read this, but we got kiddos here, so we're not going to do that today. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. You can follow along in your Bibles, or it's up on the screen if you need that as well. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east." While they were in the east, they saw a star and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet." And then they quote, "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler," speaking of the Messiah, talking about this Jesus, "who will shepherd my people, Israel." Isn't it great that we have a God that is not just a ruler and a leader, but He's a shepherd? Man, He protects us and he guides us. Then Herod secretly called the magi, or the wise men, and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where Jesus, where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and what, kids? What's next? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for the word of God. And most importantly, we thank you for Jesus. We are here today because of Jesus. We worship because of Jesus. And God, as we read through this text, as we listen to the story that we have here, help us listen and hear you, God. Help us pay attention to how we should respond to Jesus. If there are people here that do not know Jesus, God, we pray, Lord, that you would break their heart and draw them to you. And God, those of us that do know Christ as our Savior, Father, we pray, Lord, that we would be changed as we walk out of this room today. Thank you that we have a warm, dry place to meet today. And God, most importantly, we thank you for the Jesus and the birth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When we look at this passage, there's a few questions that arise. And one of the questions that has been asked me by a handful of people is, when were the wise men there? Right? When were the wise men there? If you've asked me that question, know that multiple people asked me that question, right? When did the Magi or the wise men arrive? If you were to base your theology and your decision based off of a nativity set, right? We have a nativity set in our front yard. We just got Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, right? That's right. Okay. One might think that the wise men were there at the manger right away or right after Jesus was born. When we look at the nativity set, we see that, right? But in reality, if we look to God's word, we know that the wise men actually came much later. Came much later. Some will suggest that it could have been up to 2 years later. Up to 2 years later. And here's why. When we look at verse, this isn't in our context, but this is in verse 16, and I'll read it for you. Herod had that conversation with the religious leaders and then with the Magi, right? With the wise men. And he says, go, and when you find him, bring him back so that we can, or tell us, come back and tell us where he's at so we can worship him. But he realizes that the wise men didn't come back and tell him where Jesus, where this king of the Jews was at. And it says this in verse 16, then Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi. He became very enraged and sent, check this out, and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. So based off of what he had heard from the religious leaders and really based off what he had heard from the wise men and off of his math, he wanting to kill Jesus, we'll talk about this in a minute, but knowing that he wanted to kill Jesus, he went out to kill any male child 2 years old and under. What a horrible human being. I mean, just think about that. And so we think about that 2 year mark. And then I'm not going to have you turn there, but if you want to write these down, go ahead and do this. But these are other passages that lead us to know when the wise men came. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it says this. Here's the idea. We know that the Magi came and visited Jesus and his mother in a house. All right? They were no longer in the manger, but in a house. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 21, we read that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day due to their custom and their law and their tradition. And then you look in the next verse in Luke, in verse 22, we know that the family went to Jerusalem to present the Lord, to present Jesus to the Lord or to dedicate him. You guys ever been to a dedication service? Kind of that idea, right? Okay? This was part of the law that the firstborn son would be presented to the Lord. And here's the other thing. Are you guys tracking with me so far? All right. We know that this dedication took place after Mary's purification. There's kids in here. We're not going to talk all about this purification thing. But in their day, a woman, after she had had a child, would be considered unclean for 40 days after they had had their child. So now we're looking at over 40 days that Jesus was dedicated. So at least 41 days. You guys tracking with me so far? At least 41 days. And all of this happened before the Magi and the wise men got there. All right? Thanks, dude. So based off of these texts, and there's more texts that go in there just for time purposes, my suggestion is this, is that the wise men arrived months, if not a year down the road. Thinking about the time that the family had headed off to Egypt, I probably wouldn't quite think 2 years, but certainly months later, they're not going to be right there. So I expect you guys that have nativity sets up outside to go and get the wise men and set them up outside your house in about 6 months, okay? I'm going to come by and we're going to see those. But But some could argue that it was close to 2 years after he was born. We don't have an exact time when they got there. Are you guys with me? So just a little bit of trivia for you guys this morning. And the second question that's really going to lead us into our text is this, is about Herod the Great. What was his deal? Is kind of the question. What was this dude's deal? Why would he summon the religious leaders and then the wise men to learn about Jesus? We even see this in verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. So what happened to Herod? Why would he 1 second want to worship Jesus and the next send out his men to kill, hoping that he was going to end Jesus' life? Because he never intended to worship Jesus at all. In fact, his attitude and the condition of his heart is really representative of one of three of the responses that people give to Jesus that we're going to find here in this passage. On your bulletin in the back, there are some notes. If you guys want to take some notes on there, or, you know, Levi, you might want to doodle or something. I don't know, man. But earlier I asked this question, how are we going to respond to the real story? How are we going to respond to Jesus? And I said, we're going to look at three responses from this text to Jesus. Because Jesus, here's a reality. Jesus didn't come to stay in that manger. Right? Jesus didn't come just so we could write kids' stories. Jesus didn't come just so we can, you know, just so we can celebrate and have family time. Jesus came to be God with us. That's his name, Emmanuel. He came to be God with us. He came to be the Lord of our life. Right? He came, Jesus Christ, the Lord. The birth of Jesus was personal. It was real and it was necessary. Jesus said that he came to save people from their, what, church? From their sins. And in case you're wondering, that's all of us. That's me and that's you. Right? That's all of us. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came so that we would have eternal life. What's eternal life mean? Not a popular message, but it's very, very, very biblical, very godly, okay? The idea, when we die, we're going one place or the other. Jesus came so that we would have eternal life with him and not eternal life apart from him in a place called hell. And eventually in Jesus' life, Jesus walked the path to the cross. He carried my cross. He carried my sins. He carried your sins, right? And made a way for us to spend eternity with him. He didn't come just to make us clean. He says, I'm coming so you can have a relationship, right? And so what responses do we see here in the text and what response are you and I going to have? And when we look at Herod, the first response is this, and that's the rejection of Jesus. He was rejected as king of the Jews. He was rejected as Lord. He was rejected as Savior by King Herod. Now please don't hear me say that anyone who rejects Jesus is a evil, evil killer. Right? That's going to just send out people to go kill little children. I mean, I'm not saying that at all, right? But what I am saying is I'm focused on his actions, right? His actions comes from, I mean, I'm not focused on his actions. I'm focused on his heart because our actions become from our heart, don't they? I mean, it comes from who we are. We want to focus on his heart and his attitude. So verse 1-3, we read this. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he? Where is Jesus who is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Now why was all Jerusalem worried? Because when Herod was troubled, they felt the wrath of it. Are you guys with me? When he was troubled, they felt the wrath of it. And Herod right here was troubled because he was threatened. He had a good gig going, right? He was the boss, right? He had a power. He had authority. Think about that. In our lives, when we hear about Jesus and we hear about that he died and rose again to be the Lord of our lives, to be the master of our lives, to be in charge, right? We can feel threatened. Man, especially here in the United States, man, don't tell me, man, I'm an American, right? I mean, don't tell me, all right? Man, I got rights. But when we think about Jesus wanting to be in charge, when we think about him wanting to be Lord of our life, which is why he came, we can feel threatened by him. Because we think we do a pretty good job of running our own life, right? Taking care of our own problems and living life as we choose. But Jesus came, hear me guys, Jesus came not to threaten you or ruin your day, right? Jesus came to bring truth. He came to bring joy. He came to bring hope to a world that is constantly and desperately seeking hope. Right? You can't turn on the news without seeing people that are seeking hope. We've got a couple kiddos, little kiddos in our neighborhood that are fighting for their life. They're looking for hope. Right? And we have that hope that even if when we die, because we know we're going to, right? But when we leave this earth, our hope is that we spend, it's a guaranteed hope. We're going to spend eternity with Jesus. And he came to bring light into our dark world and our dark lives. We live in a world that is surrounded by darkness and a world that seems to have lost hope. So guys, man, let's not reject Jesus. Let's not feel threatened, but let's rejoice that God so loved the world, that he so loved you. Amen, church? That he so loved you that Jesus came to die in your place so that you could spend eternity with him. Who does that? Who leaves perfection and the throne of all the angels and all the world and comes and dies? He comes to live and die. And Herod felt threatened. He felt that his way of life was in jeopardy. His control was in jeopardy. So he did everything in his power. Hear me very clearly. He did everything in his power to remove Jesus from the picture. Are we doing that in our lives? I'm not saying that we're going to send somebody out to kill somebody. Are we doing everything in our power to remove Jesus from our lives? The only one that came to give his life for you. Man, we have heroes. We got men and women in here that have served in the military. Thank you for that, right? I mean, thank you for that. And they are heroes. But they weren't born. Like, the reason they were born wasn't for that. Jesus was born to die. Are you guys with me? The only one that came to give his life for you personally. So the first response is this. We see is that the rejection of Jesus. And really, they want to remove Jesus. We see that in our world today where people just want to remove any hint of Jesus. The second response is this: religion without Jesus. I'm probably getting some weird faces right now, and that's okay. I'm going to explain this. Like, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because I want to focus more on the last one. But this: what does it mean to respond with religion? What's it mean to be religious without Jesus? In verse 4 through 6, Herod gathers a group of people, the chief priests and the scribes. These were men that were very religious men. They knew. They were in the Word. They knew the Word. He gathered the religious. These were people that knew a Savior was coming. They were people that knew God's Word. They had the answers, but church, they had no action. What about us? How do we become religious without Jesus? Well, I don't want to step on any toes here, but here's the reality. How do we become religious and we don't have Jesus? We try our best to earn salvation. Sorry, Jack, ain't gonna happen, right? It's just not possible. We try our best to do good and outweigh our bad to get into heaven. Again, sorry, it's just not gonna happen. It's not possible. We go to church, we listen to Christian music, we have nativity sets, we read the Bible, we do all this. Man, heck, some of us even put that little fish on the back. I mean, all those things are wonderful, but they're only religion if we don't have a relationship and follow Jesus. Amen, church? How do we become religious without Jesus? We know what the Bible says, but we don't know Jesus. And the world is full of them. Man, that's why we need to do a good job, Christians, is living a life that reflects Jesus. Are you guys with me? That reflects Jesus. Sometimes we know the Bible, but not the Savior. Jesus says this, in a world where there's the mountain theory, there's your salvation or your spiritual high or whatever it is, and there's all sorts of ways to get there, and it depends on who you are. The Bible doesn't say that. The Creator of the world says this: I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No one gets to Jesus. No one gets to heaven. No one gets to their spiritual high without Jesus. So today, when we hear about Jesus and our need for Him, let's not respond just by being religious. We want to do good things. We want to go to church. We want to pray and read our Bibles. And we want to do those things. But let's not respond by just being religious and walking through the answers. Let's actually give our life to Him and let Him be Lord. Let's trust Him as Savior. You guys with me? Let's just trust Him as our Savior. So some reject and remove Jesus. Some become religious without Jesus. And the last response we see from the wise men is this. They respond, and we need to respond by adoring Jesus. Adore Jesus. What does that mean, to adore Jesus? How did they do that? How do we need to do that? Don't miss this one, guys. Hey, young people, you guys are doing fantastic. All right? You guys are doing great. Aren't they, guys? They're doing great, aren't they? All right. First is this. They did, and we need to diligently seek Him. Now, men, let me help you out with this one. Have you ever had your wife say, you've said to her, hey, I can't find this. And she said, did you look like a man or did you look like I would look? Right? Are you guys with me? Let's look like the woman would look. Like, let's diligently seek after Jesus. Amen, men? Okay, how about this one? Amen, ladies? All right. All right. So, hey, I'm just owning up to it, right? So, diligently seek Him. The wise men in verse 1, they travel from the east. Sometimes we have a hard time getting out of bed and just driving 5 minutes to hear the Word of God preached in church. Right? Sometimes we have a hard time setting aside our phone and our TV so that we can just spend a little time in the Word and praying. But these wise men had a way of life, and they stopped what they were doing and they traveled a long way. Man, they didn't have Southwest Airlines, right? I mean, they walked. They got there. They went a long way. They diligently sought Him. And they said, where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw His star in the east. That means while they were in the east, and we have come to worship Him. These men knew the Savior was born, and they went, they sought Him. When we think about the shepherds, you guys know about the shepherds, right? The angel of the Lord came and told them that Jesus had been born. And I just love this about the shepherds. They're the low man on the totem pole, right? They smell. They stink. They're not liked. They're looked down upon. They didn't run to Walmart and go spread on a little bit of, what do you guys wear, Brad? I don't know, man, a little cologne or something, right? I mean, they didn't do any of that. They didn't go and take a shower to present themselves clean. They went immediately to Jesus. They left immediately to find Jesus. So this Christmas, seek Jesus. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, this is for you. Hear me out. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, He is here. He's here, right? And seek after Him. Just look, open your eyes and seek after Him. If you are a Christian here today, do you live your life pursuing Jesus? Living like Him and following Him, loving and serving. So next, they and we need to rejoice in Him. How do we adore Him? We seek Him and then we rejoice in Him. Verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. The one that came to be their Savior, to save them from their sins, He's here and they have found Him, right? They have found Him. Knowing that they needed Him, knowing that He was good and that He was loved, they what? They rejoiced. Say that with me, church. They rejoiced. This Christmas, let's rejoice in the fact that Jesus came, right? Let's rejoice in the fact that Jesus came. And I'm going to tell you, this was my reminder when I was standing in line and I'm hearing all this bickering and this person in front of me that's buying a pizza, you know, from Kmart. I don't know why they do that, man. You got to buy a pizza at the Kmart register. It's just weird, man. But it was just nuts. And I had to go back to the point and just think about rejoicing with Jesus and that He came for me. How do we adore Him? We seek Him, we rejoice in Him, and then church, we worship Him. This is going to be a good one for us. Verse 11. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped Him. When's the last time we fell to the ground and worshipped Jesus? To fall to the ground and worship is putting Jesus in His proper place, right? Putting Him in His proper place. He's the one that deserved their praise and their life, and they're saying this, Jesus, You are God, You are Lord, You are worthy, right? You are, say that with me, church. Jesus, You are worthy. Let's try that again. You are worthy. And remember, these men, they had great wisdom, they had great wealth, they had great influence. If somebody didn't need Jesus, it might have been these guys, right? And they are found bowing on the ground before a baby because they know who He is. The shepherds in Luke, the lowest on the social totem pole, they worshiped Him. It doesn't matter how much money we make or how much money we don't make, right? I mean, they worshiped Him. This Christmas and each and every day, or maybe it's the first time for you, Worship Jesus. Adore Him. Make Him Lord of your life and trust Him. And then last is from verse 11. Then opening their treasures, help me out, kiddos, they presented Him with gifts of what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I would love to talk about the significance of that, but we're not going to have time to do that today. But there is some significance with those. But the last way from their example is to give to Him. Like, all right, this is where the Baptist preacher starts asking for money. No, that's not where I'm going, right? All right, so here it is. Jesus is worthy of all of us. What do I mean by that? He is worthy of our very lives. Recently, terrorists in the Middle East asked people, they said, they asked them to reject Yeshua, Jesus. Not that long ago, there was a group of like 15-year-olds that just said, I can't do it. I can't do it. We've had adults. I can't do it. Now, we've seen the videos, haven't we? I mean, they're out there. These guys are worshiping Jesus. They're putting Him in His proper place. And they know because Jesus came and they follow Him as Lord and Savior, they're going to be in eternity with Him. And these people, they refused because they knew Jesus was worthy of all they could give, even their lives. So let me ask you guys this. For those that do know Jesus, Jesus may be asking you to give Him your trust. Maybe it's to give you His Sundays. Maybe you guys are just like, man, I'm going to be... You're right, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but why would you not? Right? Why would you not? Maybe He's asking just for your Sunday morning. Maybe He's asking you to give financially. Maybe He's asking you to give of your time or to serve. Whatever it is, just trust Jesus in that. Worship Him and adore Him because He's worthy of whatever He asks of you. Amen? Right? I mean, He's worthy of whatever He asks of you. Whatever it is, trust Jesus. And here's this. This is Christmas. Jesus, God with us. He came to be our Lord and our Savior. He came so that we could have eternal life. He came so we could be the hope, right? We have the hope within us to a world that needs hope and they need light. We get to carry that. He came for those reasons. This is Christmas that we see Jesus and we come and adore Him, Christ the Lord. Can we say that with me? Adore Him, Christ the Lord. Just say that with me. Adore Him, Christ the Lord. Let's pray. God, we love You and we thank You so much, man, for these awesome children that have done well today. God, we've got families here. We've got some new faces, some fresh faces, some people that are here often. God, we thank You for that. People that couldn't make it or didn't want to brave the storm. God, we pray, Lord, that You'd be with them and help them be encouraged today. Father, if there's somebody here today that just looks at this and says, man, I don't know about this Jesus thing. I don't know about following Jesus. I do good with this rejecting Him. God, I pray, Lord, You would draw them to You. Help them talk to me or somebody else that could just tell them who Jesus is and why He's good for them. God, we just, as Christians, we pray, Lord, that we would actually be joyful. God, we pray, Lord, that we would be Christians that shine Your light. Be with us as we continue to worship. In Jesus' name, and everybody that agreed said, amen. Amen.